Praise the Lord. God is a good God.
Amen. And the devil is still a bad devil. It's a joy for me here to be here this evening. And I'm honored to take these few moments and share God's word with you. As our dear brother said, I pastor a church in the United States in a state called South Carolina. I've been pastoring for the last 20 years, and so I'm actually 37 years old. tonight I just want to share something that's hopefully practical and hopefully simple. As I was waiting on the Lord for the last 1-2 days just to see what to speak tonight, I heard the Lord just speak about these things that life, how to make life-changing decisions. Now, tonight I'm just going to kind of give an introduction, and then tomorrow I'm going to talk about a little bit more detail of how to make decisions. And so tonight, just a simpleness, I'm going to look in the life of Moses and hopefully take you that direction. Is that okay? I always tell people, this is yes, this is no, this is I don't care. So you're in church, so would you look at your neighbor for a moment? Just turn to your neighbor for a moment. Look at them eye to eye. Say, neighbor, smile. You look better that way. You're not here for a funeral service? Okay, so it's okay to be happy in church. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word and the person of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Lord, as we open up our lives to your word, that you would speak to us in the area of our need and that you would shine light in the areas of darkness. And Lord, tonight, as I speak, that you would teach, as I speak, that you would release medicine for healing, I pray. As I speak, that you'd give life to each one of us, including me. As I speak tonight, Holy Spirit, remove distractions out of this place and release revelation and understanding for each one. In Jesus' name, amen. And so tonight I want to speak about life-changing decisions. You know, all of us, we look at the future, and some of us, we look at the future with a sense of apprehension. Some of us, with anticipation. When we look at the future, many times we get scared. But tonight, as I talk about some things, I just want you to walk away with just this one thing, that if my future is going to change, I have to do something. Okay. Some people, they are like, you know, they're super spiritual. They say things like this. I know they mean well, but when they're going through tough times, and when they're going through times that they don't understand, they say stuff like this. They say, well, I have just given it to the Lord. And I don't know what that means. But people say it's very spiritual. Well, I just taken all the stuff I'm given and I just gave it to the Lord. Now, I know the Bible says cast all your care upon Him, but it does not say cast your decision-making ability to Him. Okay. And a lot of things that's going to happen in your life is going to happen because of the decisions that you're going to make daily in life. And there are a lot of people who complain about the state of their life or the state of their family or the state of their children. But usually, that complaint, they don't take any responsibility because whatever that state is that you have chosen to be there. And so many times when, as pastors, we travel or as we look at our own church and we look at people, many times people complain about things. And tonight, as our dear brother was giving announcements, and giving some of those things that are coming forward. Let me tell you something. You are going to go in life the direction of the choices that you are going to make. Okay. And every one of us, whether we like it or not, daily we make those choices. The Bible says this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 30 verse 19. A very famous verse. It says, today I have given you the choice between life and death. Between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life that you and your descendants might live. And so every day, you are faced to make decisions. Whether that's in the area of your money, whether that's in the area of your relationships, whether that's in the area of your future, every day you are faced with choices. And it's important that you make those choices that are in line with God's Word and God's will in your life. And so tonight I'm just going to kind of take some examples from the Scriptures and take you that direction. So as I do that, I want to just kind of begin here. If you want your life to go forward, if you want your life to progress, because please understand, activity does not mean that you're growing. Okay? Because there are a lot of people who are busy in life, you know. They have a schedule, the Monday they get up, they drop their kids, go to school, go to work, whatever it is, come back, cook, you know. And usually you can pretty much tell people, because their life is pretty predictable. You can pretty much tell what they're going to do next Wednesday, or the following Wednesday, or the next month, because it's just the same routine. And so just because somebody is busy, doesn't mean that they are growing. Doesn't mean that they are advancing toward the purposes of God. Doesn't mean that there is progress in their life in terms of fruitfulness in their life. And so you could be like a hamster on a wheel, a lot of activity, but in the same place. And so, if you want something to change, then something's gotta happen. And of all the things you could do, there are a few things I wanna say to you. Number one, if you're gonna change your future and you're gonna change the direction of your life, number one, you need a mentor in your life. Because whenever God wants to do something in your life, guess what? He's going to send a person in your life. Everything that God does, He does it through people. The problem is, He likes to use people who we do not like. Am I making sense? But every step of progress in your life is going to be through people. So you need to constantly seek mentors in your life. Whether it's in the area of relationship, whether it's in the area of finances, whether it's in the area of your future. You need to find those people who are being successful. Find those people that are God sent in your life. Be open to them and let them open doors for your life. Am I making sense to you? One of the signs of a growing person is that they have the ability to create ongoing new relationships in their life. And the problem with some of us is that we get stuck in life because if you look at it, it's the same people we know for the last 30 years. And let me tell you something, if you're going to grow forward, you're going to need a mentor in your life. And when I say mentor, I'm not just saying one person, but different people in different areas of your life that will cause growth to come in your life. Am I making sense to you? If you're going to go forward, the second thing that you need in life is that you not only do you need a mentor, you need a method. That means there must be some kind of strategy, some kind of plan, some kind of mechanism to get you from A to B. And not just some kind, it must be something that is God-given in your life. And each person, you need to get a strategy from God. God, I know where I am, and I know where I need to be in your purpose. I know where I need to be in your destiny. What is the strategy? What is the plan? What is it that I need to put in my life that's going to cause me, that's going to become like a vehicle to my life to go from A to B? It's amazing. People have no strategy to live their life. And so please understand, if you're going to go forward, then you need to have, number one, a mentor. Number two, a method. And more importantly, a number three, you need what I call a mind skin. You say, Nikki, what do you mean a mind skin? You know, the Bible says this. The Bible says that God cannot pour new things into old wineskins. Okay. And it uses the symbolism in Luke chapter number 5 that if new wine is there, it needs to be poured in new wineskins. And so in the same way, I like to use the word called mind skins. Now the world uses another word called mindsets. I don't like the word mindset because it's a mind that's already set.
But I like to use the word mind skin because it is the ability to stretch your mind area. Am I making sense to you? Let me just stop here for a moment and say something. Now, we know that man is made up of three things. Number one, spirit. Everybody say spirit. Number two, soul. Everybody say soul. And number three, body. Okay. This second area called the soul is what I call the mind skin. Now, your soul is made up of five things. Okay. Number one, your will. Number two, your emotions. Number three, your mind. Now, your will is your behavior component. That means, please understand, throughout the Psalms, one of the aspects of worship is that worship is supposed to affect your will. Most of the time, it only affects our emotions. Because it begins in emotions and ends in emotions. But throughout the scripture, we find that it begins with the will and ends in the emotions. And so many times David or the psalmist would say something like this. They would say, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will pray. I will seek the Lord. Because it was not based on their feelings. It was not based on whether they had a good day or a bad day. It was a behavior component. They learned to decide and follow through. Am I making sense to you? And so your will. Number two, your emotions. And so when your will is intact, your emotions will be intact. Number three is what I call the mind. The mind is what I call the cognitive function. That means it's like the CPU of your life, the computer. It processes how things happen in your life. Okay. It's very important. Number four is your memory. Number five is imagination. Somebody says the biggest nation in the world is imagination. These five components make up what they call the mind skin area. Now, in the English language, we always hear the word mind and things like that. For example, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that if you want to change the world around you, first you need to change your mind skin. Okay. And of course, you use the word mind, but the reference is in these five areas. It's in the will. It's in the emotions. It's in the memory, the imaginations, the mind, the system of operation. If you change, learn to renew those things constantly, you'll be able to change the things around you. Now, most people, they go through Bible and they go through some teaching classes at church and they talk about the mind. And I'm glad that one of the conferences that you have coming up is the healing and sanctification conference, because most people in the church, most pastors have no clue when it comes to renewing the mind. For them, renewing the mind simply means pray, memorize scriptures, and make sure you think right thoughts. But there is a process of understanding of renewing the mind. And most people, your progress in life is based completely on your mind skin, what has happened all your life in these five areas. You know, some time ago, I think it's 2+ years ago, there's a man who came to my church. When he came to my church, he came to a church in a wheelchair. He was about 67+ years old and he started coming, and so after 3 weeks or so, I met with him. And when I met with him, he started talking to me. And as I talked to him, I went and asked him, I said, hey, you know, I know you're on a wheelchair. Have you always been on a wheelchair? Something happened, or were you born like this? How come you're on a wheelchair? And then he told me his story. He said, I came on the wheelchair only about 5-6 years ago. He said, all throughout my life, I was okay. Matter of fact, I was in the Navy SEALs. He was functioning also in some of the secret missions for United States in different parts of the world. And he told me his story. He said, what happened about 5 years ago is that one day I got up in the morning. And when I got up in the morning, I could not feel anything, any sensation below my waist. And he says, I could not even lift my leg and I got scared. I screamed out to my wife to come and I was just so scared that I had no feelings in my leg at all. They went to the doctor. The doctor checked them out and said, there's nothing wrong with you. We don't know why you're not walking. They went to another doctor. They flew to 3 different countries to take some specialist. And for the number of years, for 3-4 years, they went to different doctors. And they said, nothing is wrong in your physical body. We have no idea whatsoever why you are not able to walk. Anyway, when he told me the story, I listened to him. And I said, listen, I know you just came to my church. You've only been coming 3 weeks. But let me tell you something. If you keep coming, and during the week you come to my office and give me 30 minutes, 45 minutes a week, I said, in 6 weeks' time, I'll make sure you come out of the wheelchair and start walking again. He got a bit stunned because he said some of the top doctors in the world looked at me, nothing's happened. And so, of course, he had no other choice. And so he said, okay, I'll come. And this is what happened in his life. When he was about 22, 23 years old, he was on a mission with some of his team members. And one of his friends stepped on a mine. And these guys tried to pull him at the right time, but they could not. And so not him, but his friend blew both of his legs. And he saw that. Then afterwards, 17 years later, now in his early 40s at that time, he's on another mission. And another mission, he's a sniper and he has a spotter. And in the country that he was in, there was a guy, he fired a hand missile. And when the hand missile came, it hit his spotter. Not him, his spotter. And when it hit him, it again, as he was laying down on the ground, it hit the backside of his leg and both the legs blew. And he saw that. And now, 20 years later, he's about 62 years old, one day he gets up and he cannot feel anything in his legs. Nothing had happened to him. Only thing that had happened is he had seen those images that he could not deal with in his life. And can I tell you something? Everything that you see and everything that you hear, please understand, it might not be in your conscious mind, but please understand, your mind skin records everything, and if it's not processed correctly, it's going to show up in your life. Am I making sense to you? And so there are a lot of people, they get into car accidents, there are a lot of people, when you get divorced, science tells us that those people that get divorced, when the person is married at least for 5 years, and when they get divorced, every one of the persons, usually 84% of the people that get divorced, suddenly, mentally, they go down. They are not as sharp as before, alert, because the emotional toil it takes on their mind skin. Am I making sense to you? And so it is important that all throughout life, it is important how we handle failures, how we handle fears, how we handle our future, how we handle rejection, how do we handle those things in life that go the opposite direction of what we felt or what we enjoyed or what we wanted in life. If you don't handle it properly, it's going to show up somewhere in your life. And a lot of people, all throughout their life, they take medicine. Whether it's in form of joint pains that come, whether it's a form of restlessness that shows up in their body, whether it's a form of constant sweating and things goes on in their life, whether it's nothing, and you can pray for them over and over, but please understand, all they need is a renewal of the mind skin. Am I making sense to you? When you look at great athletes in the world, when you look at great inventors in the world, they have a lot of pain. But please understand, when somebody is good at something, it's not that because other people don't have the ability. There are a lot of people have the ability, but they don't have the strength and courage to break through because they've allowed situations and circumstances in their life put a lid on their life. Am I making sense to you? And so, we have a lot of people who don't really have good ability. There are a lot of people who really don't have ability, but they have the strength and courage to renew their mind, to move forward, and they'll produce something in life. Why? Because they learn to keep their minds renewed, or their mind skin renewed. Am I making sense to you? And so it is very important. If you're going to break through and move forward, you need to have a mentor, you need to have a method, you need to have a mind skin. When Jesus came out of the wilderness of fasting of 40 days, the first word, He did not say revival. He did not say evangelism. He did not say prayer. The first word after 40 days of fasting and prayer to humanity was repent. Now repent doesn't mean come to the altar and say I'm sorry. But He says repent. He says listen, change your mind skin. Change your thinking. And throughout Jesus would say things like this. You've always heard it say like this, but I say unto you. You've always heard it say like this, but I say unto you. What was He doing? He was helping people renew their mind skin. Am I making sense to you? And so a lot of things in your life, you will not move forward. You can come to a service like this, or you can go to a great meeting. You can have a great encounter with God. And an encounter with God is going to put a motivation in your life, put vision in front of you. You're going to get excited about it. But if you don't change the mind skin, you're not going to go from A to B. You look at the children of Israel. They had great signs and wonders. They saw the great power of God. Deliverance from Egypt, provision daily, supernatural miracles, and they had seen all those things. Yet they could not inherit the promised land. And of the millions that left Egypt, out of the millions that left, only two entered the promised land. Those are some bad numbers. Why? Because the people that were there, they could not renew their mind skin. Am I making sense to you? And so just because you got a supernatural encounter and just because you got supernatural provision, please understand, it does not deter away from you taking responsibility to learn to renew your mind skin. Am I making sense to you tonight? And so tonight, having that foundation, I want to go quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Can we all read it together on the screen? I just want to read these verses. There are five verses. There are four things I want to share with you tonight. Let's read this. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, starting at verse number 24. Okay, let's read. 1, 2, 3. By faith, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left. Amen. Now, in each one of these verses, I highlighted a word because each one of those words is an action word. Then the Bible says that he refused, he chose, he regarded, he left, he did something. Okay. And please understand, if something is going to change about your future, you've got to do something. And that something is not just anything, but in line with what God's will is for your life. And so from these verses, I want to just say a few things to you tonight to encourage you. The first thing I want to say to you is this. Number one, refuse to be defined by others. Refuse to be defined by others. Can we do this for a moment? Would you look at your neighbor for a moment? Okay. I want you to engage a little bit. And look at your neighbor for a moment and say it to your neighbor. I say, refuse to be defined by others. Amen. Here is Moses. He says when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as Pharaoh's grandson. You see, he had a choice. Why? Because we know the story that Pharaoh's daughter found him and brought him in and made him. But he had a false identity that was given to him. And he had a choice. You know what? If I keep this identity as Pharaoh's grandson, I could have all the pleasures of Egypt. I could have all the fortune of Egypt. My life could be really good. Or he could reject his false identity and take his true identity that he was a Jewish person. Many times as we go through life, we sometimes take on false identity for wrong reasons. Throughout the Bible, it's amazing to me how many people in the Bible we have illustrations of that whether they take on personal identities that are not theirs or they give identities out of their own experience to someone else. I want you to just see some verses in the Bible. In the book of Chronicles, we have this verse. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, which means painful, because she said that his birth was painful. Now imagine this. I can't believe mothers would do this. But because she experienced pain, she said, I am going to name the child painful. Now, just think about it for a moment. We might laugh at something like that, but we do it all the time. We have mothers and we have fathers who do it all the time with their children. They take the things that are there in their life, whether it's absence of negativity or presence of something else, and we place that pressure and responsibility on children. We would say things like this, well, I never got to do this, and so you're going to do it. I never got to be a doctor, and so I'm going to make my son a doctor. I never got to be a nurse, so I'm going to make my daughter a nurse. And so sometimes we live our life through our children. Am I making sense? And we give them identities that are not really theirs. We have illustrations in the Bible. We have Ruth in the Bible. The Bible says in Ruth chapter number 1 verse 20 to 21. She says, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant, which means beautiful. But call me Mara, which means bitter. Now, here was Naomi. She was in a place called Bethlehem, Judah, a house of bread and praise. And suddenly, a famine came. And so the whole family moved down south to Moab. When they moved down south, a place where God did not plan them. Husband died, two children died. She had lost everything just because she was not in the place that she was in, planted by God. And because of famine, she moved. But when she comes back, she looks at the people and now she gives an identity to herself. She says to the people, listen, I know my name is Naomi. I know I'm supposed to be beautiful and pleasant, but listen, I want you to call me Mara. Bitter. And then she blames it on the Lord. She says, for the Lord has dealt with me bitterly. And she says stupid things like this. She says, I went out full. If you're full, then why did you go out? And now I've come back empty. It's her decision, but then she's blaming it on God. And that's what we do many times in our life. We make the stupid decisions, and then we blame it on God, where are you? God, why are you doing this? And we take out a false identity. She says, call me Mara. And many times we do this when we hit a roadblock in our life, and we think, well, you know, I'm no good. I'm a failure. It seems like I always take 10 steps forward in life and something happens that pushes me back 20 steps, you know. I'll never make it. I'm not as smart as that person. I'm not as smart as this person, you know. I don't have money like this. We take on false identities. Am I making sense to you? We have another story in the Bible. Isaac and Rebekah, they could not have children, and the Bible says that the husband Isaac entreated. He made intercession to the Lord on behalf of his wife. Sometimes some things will never happen from barrenness to fruitfulness unless the husband prays. They pray and the Lord blesses them with twins. Now I want you to look at this story for a moment because it's a mind-boggling story to me. It says this, when they had twins, that the baby was born, the first baby came out. When the first baby came out, please understand, they didn't have, you know, Google, where they could search, you know, 2017, the 10 hottest names to name your child. They could not go to a bookstore and find out, you know, the 15 Greek names that are being used everywhere. They couldn't just do that. And so, they had to rely on their brains. And so, when the first baby came out, it had red hair, a little bit red freckles, and it basically looked red. And so the parents looked at the child and said, what shall we name this child? And so they named him Red. Very smart parents. That's what the name Esau. Esau means red. And then the second child was a twin. The second child came out. And the Bible says when the second child came out, it came out grabbing the heel of the brother. And the second child came out grabbing the heel of the brother. The parents looked at it and said, now what shall we name this child? I mean, they were super smart. I mean, they were like really, really smart. They looked at the child like, what shall we name the child? What do you think? Let's call him heel grabber. Very smart parents. And throughout life, this guy, Jacob, whose name means heel grabber, not deceiver, the given their names mean deceiver, but his name is heel grabber, throughout life, he became a grabber. Throughout life, because that's what they call his destiny to be. Grabber, come here. Grabber, you know, go make your bedroom. Grabber, go help your dad. Grabber. And so throughout life, he just grabbed stuff. One day his brother went out hunting, came back, and he grabbed his brother's birthright. One day the father was going to bless the children, and the first one received the second double portion of blessing. So he grabbed the blessing from his brother. Everything he just kept grabbing. And one day God appeared to him in the form of an angel. When he saw him, he also grabbed him. And sometimes preachers preach stupid messages saying things like this, that we need to grab like Jacob and never let go. And they don't get it. The point is, don't grab. This is not grab taxi, you know. He grabbed and the angel fights with him and says, let go. And then God asks him something. He says, what's your name? Now how many of you know, if God showed up in your room and asked you your name, you'll be insulted. If God doesn't know my name, are you understand what I'm trying to say? You know? He's like, what's your name? Now please understand, it's not that God did not know the name, but Jacob did not know. Why? Because remember, when he went to get the blessing, he put on false identity. He took some hair, put it on. He behaved and trying to fool his father that, listen, he's not Jacob, he is Esau. And throughout life, he put on false identities to get stuff, to grab stuff in his life. And so the angel asks him and says, what's your name? Listen, are you coming in the right identity? And that day, he changes his name. He said, listen, you're not Jacob. If you had asked me, I would have given you this name, and I give you this name today, called Israel. Israel means prince along my side. You don't need to grab me. You're along my side. Everything mine, your joint heir, everything mine belongs to you anyway. Am I making sense to you? I want to say to you, refuse to be defined by others. All throughout life, people are going to try to give you what the way they see you as, and they're going to give you an identity. You're going to get tempted to put on an identity of something based on your maybe experience or maybe or your failure or things like that. Many times as you go through life, you're going to think that I have to do this or I have to do that and become competitive just because somebody's succeeding. Another. Listen, be real. Be who you are. Be who God made you to be. That's the person that God recognizes. It's amazing to me all throughout life and ministry, I meet people, they're always copying the church down the street. They're always becoming like somebody else. They're always trying to put on an identity that's completely false and never enjoying the identity the way that God placed upon their life. Am I making sense to you? The second thing I want to say to you is this. Choose environments that God can work in. Choose environment. The Bible says he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Please understand, if you're going to grow, then you need to learn to choose environments that's going to cause you. And please understand, not every environment is a happy environment, but it's a growth environment. Not everything that God does is hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. But it's an environment that causes, that stretches you, that increases your capacity. But there are so many people, we are all in this place. Yes, we are the product of our past, but don't become the prisoner of your past. You learn what has happened and you learn, take lessons, but you constantly push yourself forward and place yourself in environments that is going to cause you to grow. You know, when I started preaching, I was 17 years old. And at that same time, please understand, I was the type of guy that I did not like people. And what I mean by that is that even when I went to school, if the teacher asked me a question, I would start crying. Because I was just, you know, not a people, but I didn't know how to say what to say. And so, if our family had friends over to the house, and you know, I would go to my room, lock the door, you know. Do you want to come out? Because I don't know what to say to people. If they're looking at me like you're looking at me now, I'd start crying. And so preaching is something that you should not choose, because you know, it has to do with people. And then when I was 17, I wanted some money, and so I applied for a job. Could not get a job anywhere. And then I got a stupid job called a sales job. And how many of you know, if you don't like people, don't get a sales job? And I got a sales job for this company, electronic company selling computers and stuff like that. And it every day it started at about 10 o'clock in the morning. And they used to call us at 8 o'clock. And there's about 22 of us that every day they took us in a big room like this. And every day they had role plays. They would train their employees. And they gave the choice to those 22 people to pick a person who's going to be a sales guy and pick a person who's going to be a customer. And every day they would give us different storylines just to practice, to train us. And every day, these 22 idiots, they would pick me. Every day. It's like, I think Nikki. And every day I had to go in the middle. And the storyline and practice being, and please understand, I could not, you know, talk properly there. And so every day they would criticize. They called it constructive criticism. I called it murder Nikki every day, you know. And every day they would criticize. They say, you know, we can't understand you. You got an accent and we can't do that. And your hair is like, and they just complain left and right. You know, I tell people, in life you need mentors and you need tormentors. They both cause you to go forward. These were my tormentors, not mentors. But as I look back at my life, I thank God for those times. Because what I am doing today happened because of that environment. That environment removed fear from my life. That environment put confidence in my life. That environment caused me to deal with people. It stretched me from the inside out and prepared me for what God had for my life. Am I making sense to you? You see, many times we complain about the environments that are there. And now please understand, not every environment that's a God environment that's going to be hallelujah, praise the Lord all the time. It might be an uncomfortable environment. But listen, as long as it's a growth environment, stay in it. The choice is yours to stay in an environment that causes you to grow. My question to you tonight is this: have you really grown? Because sometimes we become Christians, we are around Christian people, we have dinner with Christian people, we don't know anything else because we are in the same box all throughout our life. And it's amazing how many people, they just are stagnant in their life. You know, while I was growing up in our dining area, in every time our birthday would be there, they would take us to the wall, they would take a pencil and mark us on the wall. And they would put a date down and they would say, you know, you are, you know, 4'2", you know, next birthday you are, you know, 5'1". And so every time a birthday was there, we would look at it and say, you know what, hey, since 2 years I've grown 1 inch. Sometimes in 2 years I grow 5 inches. Am I making sense to you? How about you? Do you have any measurement of have you really grown? In your attitude, in your response, in your spiritual maturity, in how you do relationships? Is there some measurements? And so, choose environments. Choose environments. Number 3, the third decision that Moses made, that I want to kind of pass it on to you is that learn to live life by values. Learn to live life by a set of values. The Bible says he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he is looking ahead to his reward. You know, in life many times you don't have a decision to make between it's right and wrong, because sometimes we don't know if it's right and wrong. Sometimes all the decisions, how do you make a decision between good and gooder? Sometimes they both look good. And so you've got to learn to fall back and live life by a set of values. What is valuable and what values have greater priority? Am I making sense? And it's very hard, because sometimes mentally we would say things like this. If we talk about your priorities, we would say something like this. Well, you know, God is my number one priority. Number two is my family. Number three, my church. Number four, my work. Right? Now, it solves a guilt problem, but reality is not like that. Why? Because if God is number one, how come he only gets 5 minutes every day? Are you understand what I'm trying to say? And 1 or 2 hours on Sundays. If this is number four, how come this takes most of the time whole week? Are you understand what I'm trying to say? And so somewhere along the line, something is wrong in how we do life, how we choose things, how we process things. And so somebody comes to your house and you got a relative who lives in Hong Kong, and he comes and or she comes to your house and they say, hey, you know what, I'm here for the weekend. And you got a choice. Wow, you know, they came to visit me. Should I go to church? Or should I go to Universal Studios? I don't know. Because both seems good. And so at that time, what comes into play is, what is value? Am I making sense to you? If you don't live life by a set of values, please understand, you'll end up spending time and energy and life after things that's not producing a future for your destiny. And it's amazing how many people, how many families have never sat down and just simply made a list and said, hey, this is what's valuable to our family. This is how we live life. I don't care what happens, this is valuable to us. What are those values? Do you have some set of those things written down and say, hey, you know what? I discuss, talk with your wife, talk with your hey, this is how we're going to build our family. It's amazing how many families, if I go to them, I ask the husband, hey, listen, do you have like a family time? What that means for some people is, yeah, we go eat. But is there some sharing? As father and mother, do you share values with your children? You can talk to your kids about sex all you want to, it's not going to help. Why? Because you don't have values first. Because you can't put fire out if you don't understand value first. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And we are living in a generation, I'm telling you, five-year kids know more about sex and all these things than most adults do. I ran children's ministries. I ran conference. And you will see the stuff that comes out of 5, 6-year-old kids, it will shock you. And I realize you can do all kinds of stuff, but if you don't take care of the family unit at home, nothing's going to change. And the church is not responsible for your family unit. As father and mother, you are responsible. That's the first area of defense, first area of protection. And it's amazing how many fathers or mothers have never said and said, hey, you know what? Since we got married, since we're going to have children, this is how we are going to build our family. This is our family values. They don't have. And so I go to church, his husband comes to church, wife doesn't come to church. Wife goes to a different service, husband goes to a different service. Happens all the time. Children go somewhere else. Why? Because from the get-go, no values were established. And so there is no synchness as a family. What are we doing? Why do you exist as a family? Why? What are you doing together as a family? For some people, as long as they got married, children, that's it. They all go separate ways. And I tell people, you are really not a parent until your children turn 13 years old. When your children turn teenagers, that will see who you are then. Because up till that time, all the children, they will memorize Bible. They'll memorize Psalm 119. They'll go to children's church. They'll go to... When they turn 13, they got to make their own decisions. Then what you put into your children's life will really come to... We'll see. And so it's important. I say to everyone here, especially parents, sit down. Put some values together that you feel of how you're going to build your house. Let me say the last thing, and I'll kind of close it with this. The Bible says this, that by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Number fourth decision that Moses had to make is a decision of faith. He said, listen, I'm going to live my life by faith. Listen, I'm not going to live my life based on past experiences, what I can get, something that requires faith. Now, my question to you this evening is this. What is it that you're doing that requires faith? What is it that you're doing that requires faith? What is it that you're doing? For faith to operate, something always has to go and something always has to be embraced. There's always a letting go and there's always a welcoming in. And that is something we don't like because we want to do something and be set for it for life. But please understand, a growing person and a progressing person, an advancing person, there's always things. When new life is coming in, all things are being passed away. When things are, there's a constant change taking place. When God called Abraham, every step of progress was a progress of letting something go. He says, let go of your father's house. Let go of your country. Let go of your father. Even when he made a mistake and said, hey listen, we got Ishmael. God said, let go of Ishmael. Even when the son of promise came, Isaac, he said, take your son, your only son, and go up to the mountain and let him go. And please understand, every step of progress of faith is always about letting something go and embracing something new. Am I making sense to you? And so, what is it that's there in your life today that you're doing that requires faith? That requires faith. What is it that you're doing that requires faith? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is it that requires faith? Because many times we make decisions based on our wallet. Well, I think, you know, I can do this. Why? Because we got this much money. Many times we make a decision based on our ability. Well, I really can do this. Why? Because I know how to do this. But what decisions can you make that you know, hey, it's a decision of faith. The only reason I'm doing it is because God called me to do it. That's all. Am I making sense to you? What is it? What is it in your life? Is there that constant faith actions in your life? It's amazing. Many, many times as we walk through life, we can get into what I call an autopilot. We just get up, read our Bible, do our devotionals. Go to work, go to church, serve a little bit, how are you, this, that, some fires here, there, take care of it. And it's just a routine of life. But there's no excitement, no adventure, no progress. And I want to close by saying tonight this, that if you are going to change your future, you gotta do something now. You gotta do something now. God gives you and me the wonderful opportunity to make decisions, to choose life, to choose blessings, to choose an advancing future. He does not make the decision for you. He'll give you the vision, He'll give you the strength. But please understand, He will not make the decision and create actions for your life to move forward. You've got to make the decisions and implement a strategy and say, God, thank you for showing me this. Thank you for strengthening me. And I'm going to make the decision to move forward in what you have for my life. Don't remain stagnant. Would you bow your heads? Tonight I'm just going to close in prayer as the team comes forward and leads us in a song, and our dear brother comes and closes us out tonight. And I'm going to just simply say to you tonight, if you feel tonight that your life is in a place and you look back and say, you know what? My life is just boring. There's just a sense of routine, but no progress, no advanced movement. I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like there's a lid over my life. And I need something to change. And tonight you say, Pastor Nicky, as you're speaking, I know God was speaking to me. And God was stirring those things in my heart. And so tonight, just as an act of your faith, not for me to see or anybody to know or anything like that, but just as you, if you are like that, and tonight when the word of God came and you know it was for you and you know God is speaking to you, then I want you to just kind of lift up your hand wherever you are, and I want you to just open your mouth, and I want you to just simply pray and say, God, here am I. Would you speak to me? Would you send people in my life? Would you give me a strategy to move forward? Would you change, help me by your word to renew my mind skin? And so just for a few moments, just pray unto the Lord right now. Pray unto the Lord right now. And I'm just going to pray and hand it over. Father, I thank you. I've done my part of proclaiming and giving voice to your word. And Lord, I ask that you do by your Holy Spirit what you do best, and that is water the seed and give it increase, O God. Speak to your people, I pray. Work and divinely intervene in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Church, can I invite us to stand? You know, life is all about a series of decisions. The quality of our lives is always determined by the quality of a decision we made. And the best quality of decision is always made in response to the Word of God. We're going to ask the worship lead team to lead us, to help us to be more like Jesus. I sense in a crowd like this, the Lord has already spoken to us. And the Lord is reminding you that you need to make certain decisions by faith. By faith, according to the word that He has already spoken to you. As we sing this song, I want to encourage you, if the word of God has ministered to you, you know there's an area of your life you need to decide according to the word of God. By faith, as we sing this, you come. Church, we come to church not just to hear a good sermon, not just to feel connected to God. We come to church because we want to be transformed by God. And the word of God is given to transform us. So as you hear the word, respond to the word. As we worship, you come.
Renew my life, Lord Jesus.
Come and apply the word of God in your life today.
I never want to be the same.
Take that step of faith before God. Not to man, but before God.
Renew my
Lord, help
life,
me to act on what
Lord
I've done.
Jesus.
That only your love can bring. And
Lord, this is our prayer. Lord, change our hearts today. Lord, help us to decide based on the Word of God. Help us to live our life in accordance to the Word of God. That we will not decide based on the flesh, but we will decide based on the Word of God that you have given to us. The Lord, that we may live our life by faith in your unchanging word. That may our lives be transformed for the glory of God. May the way we live delight your heart today. Lord, we pray for all our brothers and sisters who have come forward. The Lord, that you know the exact situation they are in and the decision that they need to make. We pray that, Lord, that you help them to make that which is right, that which is godly, that which is by faith. And for all of us here tonight, Lord, help us to continue to let your word grow deep in our lives, that we will live by faith in Christ. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The service is over, but if you need prayer, just come. All right, we're here for you.